cutting grass.
And swallow your pride and be like, I'm going to call Dave. But call him, reach out to him and be like, dog, I just need to. But a lot of us don't do that.
I'm going
to
jump in. I started going live. We pretty much know what depression is.
Just the love that we're showing this man.
Are things that you have to monitor and manage yourself, right? That's where those relationships starting to be more important. I think
get in on the conversation. It's their time, it's your time, it's our time to gel.
What I mean by that, what a most alumni will not do at their own HBCU. Now, mind you, he's not a Jackson State alumni.
Alumni, right? Hey, that's good. That's good, Alex. That's good.
This man is cutting the grass. Cutting the grass. of not his HBCU, and he's donating money not to his alumni, but to another HBCU. And we got to realize, like, and when they, you know, what really got me kind of mad was whenever they start playing the song.
Monkey don't stop no show.
If you want to leave, go ahead and leave.
Yeah, with the band and all that.
Monkey don't stop no show.
Mm-hmm.
That was tight.
I was like, man, and this the love that we showing this man, and this man, and see, we always go, like they always say. They're never gonna say the good that you did,
right?
But they're gonna say all the bad stuff you did. And all he said, he was trying to leave. He was gonna leave, and man, I'm telling you, man, this man right here, he had a plan, and the plan is working out for him. So I support him wholeheartedly.
Alex, you know what I really think the attack is about? Coaches change jobs all the time, right? So we can't be mad. We are not mad at him. I think it's the enemy because he talks about his relationship with Christ often. And so the enemy will always use anybody who's willing to chip away at what God's plan is. This man, he's taking kids from Jackson State who probably didn't get D1 offers. Now they have the chance to play on the big stage. You know how big that is? Man, that's huge, man. But we can find, how can you find something negative? How can you find something? I just don't, man, it really did, man. I had to really pray. I found myself praying to God about a situation from Facebook, which kind of is a whole nother story by itself. Because, I mean, you know, like, it shouldn't have bothered me like it did, but it did. Jonathan, give me some on that.
On the DM, man?
Yeah.
It's almost like us Blacks was like a crab in the bucket mentality.
Right.
It's like we try to bring each other down, you know, but like you said, he didn't have to go take that Jackson State job. He didn't have to do that. He had a plan. Like you said, people just reading other stuff, don't know the backstory, don't know. I mean, he helping out others with stepping stones, his coaches, players. Like you said, some coaches he got now can make $1 million now.
Right.
It's not about him. It was never about him. Like, I look at the stuff he's doing at Colorado, the changes he want to make, you know, how he's talking to the students, the players, to the athletes that are there now. Yes, it's tough love. Sometimes you need some tough love.
Right. Alice hit it on the head, man, when he talked about, I don't think people really understand when you saying, Alice said, he didn't have to do anything. So
He got the money.
He got notoriety. He's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Best to ever do it. Like, I think the fact that we've never seen a player of that magnitude, you know what I'm saying? You would think somebody equivalent would be Jerry Rice or, you know what I'm saying? We've never seen a great, great player do what, this has never been done before. So Black people, we don't like it. We don't like new. We don't like change. We want you to stay over there. because you're supposed to stay. Why wouldn't you stay over there? I'm staying over here. You know what I mean? Like, we can see the negative so easily, and we fight the positive. You know what I'm saying? This mm-hmm. man, his coaching staff wouldn't have had the opportunity to go to Colorado. You know what I'm saying? Most of his players wouldn't have had a chance to go to a D1 Power 5 school. You know what I'm saying? But we don't see those things. We see five people got mad, and then 5,000 got mad. You know what I'm saying? Like, five got mad mm-hmm. that Monday morning, and Monday evening, 5,000 was mad. Because we so quick to grab onto whatever negativity flies in our community. And we got to change that. We got to start talking. When we talk to people, we got to start talking about the impact of things that we say negatively. Like, you know what I'm saying? He'll lose a recruit or two based off somebody says, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't go to him. And why you can't lift him up? I know people praise Nick Saban all the time. I don't know nothing about him. You know what I'm saying? They don't know anything about Nick Saban.
That's true. Yeah, you're right, Ty. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I wanted to bring up, because at the end of the day, you got to think, we have never seen unless I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, and anybody can correct me, we have never seen a coach like Deion, with the type of coach that Deion is, prime time, he gonna tell you like it is, he comes with the whole, because he always came with an aura, he always came with that highlight.
Presence. He had a presence.
There you go.
The aura about himself.
There you go. He mm-hmm. always came with that, even mm-hmm. when he was a player.
Right.
And now he's taking that same aura he came with as a player into the coaching. And now it's like, oh, you're doing the same thing that you were doing, but it's a little bit more laid back, but it's still the same mm-hmm. prime time that we saw today. Right. And there's nothing wrong with it.
That's gonna help. Mm-hmm.
Right. And just like I was talking to a coworker the other day, I said, you know what? At the end of the day, I said, I don't know if y'all saw how he was talking to some of his players when he met in, I guess, the coaching room or whatever.
Definitely.
He told him, he said, some of y'all might be in the portal. Y'all got to enter mm-hmm. the portal. Because I'm bringing my dogs.
Why wouldn't you?
Thank you.
Why wouldn't you?
You're exactly right. But at the end of the day, now we never heard. Think about it now, Tom. Think about it. We never heard a black man talk to a predominantly PWI school like that.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And if they talked about it, it was never recorded like what Deion has done.
They wasn't afforded the opportunity because they wasn't Deion. And he understands who he is. You remember, and I follow Deion. The only thing I don't like about Deion is that he's a Florida State That's the only thing. I mean, you know, I ran like Deion on the ball field. You know what I'm saying? I've always loved him. Right? Anything I can find on Deion, I've always read. If you go back, you remember when they started letting him and Jerry Rice coach the Pro Bowl? Y'all remember mm-hmm. that?
I don't remember that. No, I don't.
It's
go
been
ahead.
What, about 5 years? 5-6 years. So they started.
Yeah, yeah.
And so even when they talked to him then, he stated what his plan was. As a coach, as a coach, he stated what his goal was for his future. He said, I'm not out here. Yeah, this is the opportunity to coach, but I see myself as a big time coach. He said that in the Pro Bowl when they was, because they did it what, about 2-3 years? I think him and Michael Irvin.
And he did the All-American game.
Yeah, he would coach the Senior Bowl and stuff like that. And so mm-hmm. the kind of person that he is, even the other day he did the 5-year plan or his purpose, his plan for the facility. Like, he's not just doing this for attention and, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. Nah, I'm doing this. This is what I expect by this. That conversation with them boys when he first met, to most people, that was abrasive, but it wasn't abrasive. If I'm going, we going to a cookout, me, all of us going, right? And I'm responsible for the potato salad. Who potatoes? I'm taking mama. I'm taking my money to the data center. Who else is I'm going to take? You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thought. Why would you expect Deion to – he's a black coach. Deion understands that his window is not like Nick Saban's.
Right.
It's not like Lane Kiffin.
Right.
He understands that. So if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging with the guys that I know, the guys that I trust. So the way that people talked about that interview, it looked at Brady, it wasn't. He said, if you guys are not willing to work, if you guys are not willing to bust your butt, this is what I expect. Ain't going to be no phones. It ain't going to be – that's what the conversation was about. It wasn't just like, hey, I'm bringing my guys. You know what I'm saying? You guys can hit it. No, that was the conversation was about, if you can't deal with my expectations, the best thing for you to do is hit the portal. Which, why wouldn't you tell them versus deal with this kid or these kids for two or three seasons making false promises? The other, that's one thing I can say. I don't know. I can tell you he's not going to make false promises to someone. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to be the one get fired if this kid don't pan out.
There you go, Todd. And then at the end of the day, as if and I was talking to someone about this earlier, yesterday. I said, you have no reason not to respect this man.
None.
This man has came in and told you what the status is in the beginning. He said, now look, and as a player, if I'm sitting in one of them chairs with Deion's talking, guess what? I said, man, this man told me I can leave. I ain't got no talent. He telling me I gotta go. But as a player, I'm thinking like,
I'm proving wrong.
I could work. I'm gonna prove myself to this man right here, and that's gonna make me a dog.
To Deion, I'm gonna prove myself.
That's gonna make me a dog. Because I'm gonna show him I'm staying. Because I ain't going nowhere. You know. Right. So, but yeah, that's gonna motivate me. If you're a true player, that's gonna motivate you to like, look, oh no, ain't nobody taking my spot. I'm a dog out, you know.
Man, that's good stuff. Darren, what's up, bro? Give me something on this, man. How you doing, bro?
What up?
What's up, man? Good to see you, bro.
Man, likewise, man. It's good to be seen.
Man, that's what's up, man. Give me something on the Deion thing, man. I was just talking about how we as black folks attacked him, man, and you know what I'm saying. Give me something on that.
Well, I think, and just from what I'm listening to, man, it was all great stuff. I don't know my man right there at the bottom, but what's up, bro? Nice to meet you, man. Jonathan, what's up, bro? Long time no see, man. Terrence, I don't know, bro. But yeah. Anyways, I think it's a. I don't want to use a slave mentality, but I feel like we fail to realize that Deion. Being the person who Deion is and in the trailblazing that he has from his career, from him, you know, who he is, you know what I'm saying? When you say Deion Sanders, like, everybody know who that is. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a no-brainer. But I feel like we missed the part that he went home first. Like, he went home. He probably could have went there first. He probably could have took his talents and his gifting elsewhere, but he chose to go there first.
Right.
He did what he was supposed to do. He built the team, he built the department, made a name, you know, helped out, did what he had to do. Now it's time to, you know, let the man move on. I think sometimes we don't look at strategy sometimes. And sometimes we think us as, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We don't strategize, that we don't know how to strategize, that the only they do, only they know how to strategize. But this could be a strategy the whole time that he was looking, you know what I'm saying? Let this man do his thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he done did what he had to do. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully he trailblazed enough to get more black coaches involved to where you can move some of those players that may not have the opportunity or because of their demographics or where they come from, to have an opportunity. Now they have somebody at the top. They can create that tunnel for them. So, you know what I'm saying? It could be a very I think it was a very strategic move, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Hey, good stuff, Derek. Yep. You know what jumped out at me when you was talking? when you said he could have went, and he did understand it's always coaching vacancies, right?
Right.
So he could have jumped in a D1 off the top, right?
Off top.
But the guy that's prime time has too much pride to be given something. So he went to the HBCUs because he knew he can pick his spot, right? And he wanted to show people that he can coach. I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure that he didn't just want to be given a job because he's prime time.
Right.
He wanted opportunities because he's a good coach. And that's what the HBCU afforded him. It afforded him the opportunity. He ain't just coach. He dominated at HBCU, right?
Right.
And so that's how all this came about, because he took, I think a lot of times, some part of this big picture is that he took less. He took less to get more. You know what I'm saying? He I don't want to say he went down to the slums, but HBCU, like Alex was talking about, if you never really, a lot of times people looking at it like comparing it to Clemson, Carolina, HBCU compared to a Power Five school is night and day. Not it's night and day. You know what I'm saying? Cutting grass,
it's not even talent, man. It's just the opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Facilities.
Those cats don't get the opportunity because in our society, well, the way it's looked at on the outside, the HBCUs are less than, you know what I'm saying? They can entertain you. They got mm-hmm. great talent. They got great different things, but it's looked at as less than, you know what I'm saying? Compared to like your Clemsons and your
right.
you know,
right.
your schools like that, and different things like that. So it's considered less than when that's something that, you know, a lot of us, you know, as Black folks, we take pride in going to HBCUs, but we just got to change the narrative of how we look at HBCUs to begin with. And look at it not just an opportunity because we Black, but just an opportunity to advance and use people, but when we have people like Deion Sanders and different people like that, take care of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. take full advantage of the opportunities that you have to have someone of that looks like you that has opportunities that can open up doors for other people.
Right. Alex.
You know what, Darren? I definitely agree with you, man. You hit it on the head.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say is a lot of people, and that's why I think so much of us were mad. And the reason was because we felt like he was going to stay forever. He's not a Willie Jeffries. He's not a Buddy Pugh that's going to stay at one institution for years. This man has the charisma to draw young talent in and create so many other opportunities, just like Willie Jeffries, just like Buddy Pugh at South Carolina State. Those coaches have done for years, but now he mm-hmm. has charisma. Guess what he's going to capture? He's going to capture that young talent that say, hey, that D1 talent that might be going to Clemson, that D1 talent that might be going to Notre Dame,
right.
and say, you know what? Hey, why don't you come here and stay? Because I'm Deion Sanders. He has that charisma to mm-hmm. capture those type of players. And at the end of the day, if you really think about it, that's really what's got him successful at Jackson State.
Right.
Yeah. He's gotten that type of talent to say, hey, we're going to do this at Jackson State. Are you with me? I'm prime time. I'm an NFL player. I'm a Hall of Famer. Are you willing to come to my school when I'm coaching at? At the end of the day, he still can connect with the youth. And at the end of the day, that's important. Mm-hmm. If you can't connect with the youth and you ain't got some sort of type of swag about you, they ain't really interested. They wouldn't be interested in the HBCU if it weren't for Deion. I'm going to say that.
You seen the numbers? Y'all seen the numbers? And all the people, I think it was 200 players that hit him up already. Mostly mm-hmm. former 4- and 5-star players. Eddie George.
He just took a 4-star from Notre Dame.
Who that?
He just took a 4-star from Notre Dame today.
He got two dudes from Alabama. So this stuff ain't so. Yeah, we got the negativity surrounding but everything inside of it is absolutely positive. You know what I'm saying? Eddie George, coach at Tennessee State. Eddie George is a great, great player. Ain't Eddie been coaching what, 7-8 years down there? It's no fuss by Eddie George. It's a couple more. I think Dyson, whatever, but he wasn't like a great dude. But Deion is something special. Why can't we appreciate our people that special? Like, he's special. Deion Sanders, man, this dude cannot do nothing the rest of his life and live just as good as he ever has. But he cared enough. Okay, so most of us wouldn't go down to making $7 an hour. Like, basically, that's the equivalent to what Deion did.
Right.
But look at it, how he did it with the joy. He was having fun. Like, his passion, he did it. For me, I think he's so passionate about pouring into them boys that without the passion for pouring, he couldn't have went down to Jackson State if that wasn't part of who he is. Like, making them, he talks about making them into men all the time. You ain't going to go down and give up your money. He working. He basically paying the job to work. He cutting grass. He building locker rooms. He buying uniforms. You know what I'm saying? How many of us would do that? The people that beat him up. And so the next thing that makes me sick, I'm probably going to go live before the end of the year. That LeBron and Michael Jordan conversation absolutely disgusts me. And I'm going to tell you why. I screenshotted some people. I don't even really know them, but I've seen dudes literally like want to meet up and fight. They done ran out of stats to share with each other to win the argument. Why can't they both be great? Why in African American society and community we pit each other against everybody? Why has it got to be a greatest of all time? You don't see no other race saying who was Andre Agassi, Sanford. You won't. I promise you. Anybody find, I give you $5, $10 for each one you find on your page. You will only see it coming from us. And I said because it has significance. It shows how ununified that we are, if that's a word. I think it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so hard. And so I tie that into the Deion thing because it shows how hard it is for us. Y'all see me, I mentioned clapping for each other a lot when I post. We would not clap for each other because somebody got to be first. You know what I'm saying? We done took appreciation. Like, I had some kids in the mentoring group. They play and they call each other trash. That's a no-no. That's a no-no. We do not do that. You cannot tell somebody they trash because you win and it's a game. No, the world is going to beat you up enough. I do not want to hear somebody telling me, you know what I'm saying? Being black is tough. You know, we need to support each other. And we got to get back and try to figure out, how we do that. And we got to have conversations and we got to influence the people around us. A lot of people don't know how to clap too, man. If you ain't never clapped, I've seen family members go. I've been with some friends. They invited me to go watch the little boy play. And nobody in the family clapped. You know me. Y'all know me. I'm hot. Yeah. Like, your whole family didn't clap. Boy had like 15 points in a little kid's game, which was a lot. He balled. And everybody was sending that mean mug. I ended up sliding down a little bit from him because I ain't want to be associated with them. I'm hollering. This is y'all family. I don't really even know the little boy like that. I know y'all. This is one of my partner's nephew. Yeah, man. But man, this Deion thing, man. Y'all have some real nuggets on that, man. We got to get back to loving each other. Why do you guys think it's so hard? Do you think is social media having a greater impact on it than we realize?
Honestly, I guess I'll speak first, but social media has a big part of that.
Right.
Because you think about it, the way it came out that he was leaving, and I'm thinking like, wow, you know, at first, like I say, I didn't want him to leave. I didn't. But I wasn't against him leaving. I was just hoping he stayed another year. But then, like I say, when he decided he was leaving, I was happy for him because I knew that what was set up next for, because if you know Deion, you know he just ain't doing this just to do it. He's doing right. to set somebody else and set other people up for success. That's the type of guy he is. But social media had a big part in a lot of the negativity. It really did, and I didn't like it. I didn't comment on a lot of stuff that I saw because I said, you know what? At the end of the day, I just want to be neutral. I want to see. I just wanted to be neutral. I didn't want to comment on something negative, but I would comment on something positive. You know, I wasn't that type of person to do that. But I appreciate what he done for the school because if you really look at it, he really elevated. He put HBCUs on the map. When have you ever heard of game day going to a HBCU?
Never. Never.
When have you ever heard that? Let me know, like, this man is doing something that nobody else has done, and now it's somebody else's job to do the same thing that what he's done for other people, you know?
Right. Jonathan, how many – I'm going to ask each of you guys. Everybody got at least 500 Facebook friends, right? Darren, I know y'all.
Yep.
And you ain't got to say the number. How many of you guys have, and it don't have to be male, how many of you guys have 10 plus positive friends? I'm talking about that encourage people, like from a post when they post. They post to encourage and not, they post to build up, not tear down. How many of you have 10 or more?
It's a few, but I don't think mine over 10.
Take a second. I don't know about 10. So
I don't. It might be close, but I ain't 10.
So I got a couple thousand Facebook friends, right? And I don't have 10 people that look to build up someone or encourage someone just by a post. You got to go door to door. So with Facebook, this should be easier than it used to be, right? So that also tells me that I have a couple thousand people that gravitate toward negativity. So if I got a couple thousand, Allen got a couple thousand, Jonathan got a couple thousand, Darren got a couple thousand, Warren got a couple thousand, Terrence got a couple thousand. Now we got a whole lot of thousands of people who gravitate to the negative. And then we wonder why, like, it's so chaotic in a lot of times in our community, man. We gotta turn that. If we don't turn that around, how can the community change if negativity is highlighted? It ain't just it's highlighted and it's embraced in our community. I post sometimes, like, and I don't post nothing for life. I post to show kind of what I'm doing. I posted that picture from the mentoring group the other night. I think 8 people liked. I guarantee you, I post a fight video. I can post a fight video or a Dallas Cowboy meme.
You're right.
And I know where you're going. Right.
I know where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I ain't got nothing.
No. What I was saying, you're absolutely right because you can post something. If somebody got in a fight, you can probably have 25,000 people share.
Right.
But something that's positive, we ain't gonna share it. And it's funny because prime example, I was I'm a friend on Facebook with a photographer, and she had said something that I've always been saying to myself. She said, "Well, great day, I got 345 views, but only 3 likes."
right.
Make it make sense.
Right.
And she's right. You got to make it make sense. How you looking at something, and some of it's y'all probably look at it more than one time.
It's a click.
More than one time, but she only got 3 likes.
3 likes.
My thing is, if you got to look at it more than once, you better, why not give it a like? Right. Support.
But it's free.
Come on, look. I'm telling you. look. A lot of y'all, like I said this a couple years ago when I got on Facebook, a lot of y'all y'all, a lot of y'all scared to kick that to click that like button for whatever reason.
Right.
Y'all acting like they charging y'all to click the like
button. Right, like they got a little like, right. Well, they like them. I got my three more likes.
Y'all acting like they charge you to click the like button.
Right.
But let somebody get in a fight, something negative. Oh, you could kick that share button in the day.
They're gonna like it and share it.
Come on, man.
They're gonna like it and share and call somebody.
We so backwards, man. We are backwards.
Yeah.
We are.
It ain't always be negative. It could be like a dance challenge. You want to be seeing a dance challenge. People gonna start doing it and looking. But if you got sugar brother hand challenge, how many people gonna sugar brother hand and throw a picture up?
Ain't going to happen.
You right.
And so now we gotta get back to, it starts with everybody Jonathan come in contact with. It's not gonna transform overnight, but we gotta be, you know, in the Bible study group, we talk a lot about being the light. We gotta start showing, and hey, I'm gonna do this. Tell five dudes this week, but then the next week, just five dudes say, hey man, no, don't just randomly tell them, but in a conversation, say, hey man, I love you. Watch how it happens. Watch how he receives it. He's gonna look at you funny generally. Generally, he's gonna look at you funny. How is love an awkward thing? In 2022, love is anti. Love is an anti thing. I tell you guys I love you. Like, but it's not. And Jonathan and Darren, we walked through this. We had a brother in the Bible study group who called us. And he helped us. You know what I'm saying? Dude will call you every week and tell you he loves you, which helps us. Because it's not an easy thing. We done got so hardened and we so masculine that if Alex tell me he loves me, or one of you guys say, hey, just run, hey, bro, what's up? Like, if you guys do this week, one or two of the guys going to ask you if you something wrong with you. Like, Ray, bro, what's going on, man? Like, yo, where that coming from? At the minimum. Where that coming from? And that shouldn't be the case. You see them pictures? I post a lot of them old pictures. Them dudes back in the 70s, man, them dudes used to be in flocks with suits and ties. They probably didn't tell each other they loved each other either, but they showed it. Love got to be shown or it got to be voiced between brothers. And we're not really getting that. You know what I'm saying? We'll sit there mean mug a dude and won't even speak. Hey, brother, what's going on? What's like?
Well, Todd, that's something I kind of do with my older cousins too. I tell my little one though, but some of them look at me crazy, but I tell them that though, you know?
Right.
It's nothing to be funny. It's something I know they love me. They got to say, boy, what's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. They love you, man. I mean, like that sometimes.
We don't normalize it, man. We tell each other we love each other all the time.
That's good.
I get it with the old, you know, the older crowd, but like, you know, bars, you know, Tank, Carnegie, we done start normalizing it. We got a guy named Quentin. He been doing it. I mean, at first, you're right, it was weird, but I think that, you know, losing a couple guys younger than us, like, you know, fucking Q, that made it easier to tell them, you know.
Right.
Because for a while, man, I was trying to figure out why, you know, I felt uncomfortable hugging my son. I don't kiss on him or nothing like that, you know. But it was just, I won't say toxic masculinity or anything like that, but I had to show him he was loved, so we do that now. You know what I mean? Now, I can't just let him sit on my lap and just baby him all the time, because the world, you know, I'm sending him out there to the world, it ain't flowers and rainbows, skills, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you got to find that balance, but I think with the younger generation, we starting to normalize it, especially with the social structure right now. Everybody kind of like, you know, self-reflect, like, what's good for me or whatever. So I think it's becoming more so of a norm. So the older generation taught us to be tough. But now, you know, people are more self-aware. It kind of gets, you got cancel culture, so it kind of get too deep, you know. But, I mean, they trying to normalize a lot of things. And that's one of the things that I can say that, you know, in our age group that I can see happening right now.
Hey, Warren, you know, hey, I commend you for saying that, bro. And the reason why I say that is because now we as the younger generation, we have to start saying that. I love you to our kids, mm-hmm. to our young men. Mm-hmm. Hey, bro, I ain't seen you in a minute, man. How you been, man? Hey, man, I ain't seen you in a while. Hey, I hope you're doing well. I love you, bro. Warren, you hit on it, man. And it really took me because I was with a group probably within the past year or two, and he made it comfortable for me to say, "Hey, I love you, bro. I love you, man." And I was like, "Man," I said, I got a grown man telling me love me." And then everybody in the group that was in the group, "Hey, man, I love you."
Right,
man. You'll be surprised. You will be surprised how many kids or how many adults have never had a grown man tell them they love them. Think about it, man. Think about it. And what we got to stop is we got to stop that. Because, and I'm going to be honest, I'm being real. My daddy, I love my daddy to death. I really do. But it's hard for him to tell me he loves me.
Right.
And I know he does. My daddy's been, him and a mom married for 40 some plus years, but it's hard for him to tell me he loves me to this day. So I said, you know what? I got to break that curse. I got to start telling him, "Daddy, I love you."
Right.
Oof, so therefore, and now what's happened is whenever my son, who is 9, he started to say, "Hey, you know, hey, love you, man." He started hugging my son. He started telling my son he loved me. I was like, "Okay, all right." I didn't get it with me, but now he started to get it with my son.
Right.
So we got to start breaking that. Start telling somebody you love them, man, even if it's awkward as whatever. And we got to start breaking that, because that right there, that I love you, and we never heard it from somebody, we don't know what it is. And Warren, man, you hit it on the head, bro. I appreciate you for that.
Hey, Warren. The greatest thing, and Darren, Jonathan, your time come also, Alex. The greatest thing you can give your son is the visual of you telling another brother,
"Woo,
love him."
Woo.
And because my dad never told me he loved me, he showed me. He was sick. He was in the hospital. We had some things that tore us apart, and before he died, you know, I was told I needed to see him before he was holding on, blah, 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 until we met, until I got there. And I got there Saturday, and he told me he loved me, right? And he died Tuesday. So I struggled. I'm 51. I struggled a lot, many years. I'm not blaming my dad because he wasn't taught how to share that himself, but because I never heard "I loved you"
right
from my dad, I struggle with all things involving love. I'm reading that Terry Crews book right now, and he has the same story. And so because I didn't know love, I knew masculinity, right? So in life, one way or the other, you're going to gravitate to what you see without being told otherwise, right? So because my daddy never told me he loved me, the fact that he showed me as a kid don't register that much. You know what I'm saying? Because I need to hear it. I need to hear it so I understand when I get older what love is. And so because I didn't hear it, I became super masculine. And so even though I liked girls, I really liked girls, I became a young adult who loved women, but I didn't have a concept of what love was because I was fighting for it so hard from my dad. To hear it from my dad, like, the best I got was, "I'm proud of you," which was everything. But for me, I know it was more. And so in relationship, when a woman say, "I love you," whatever, and then you hear other dudes talk about all the other women. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what love is. And then the older dudes that I look up to, they was doing the notches on the belt. "No, I don't know nothing about no relationship." I don't understand what a relationship. How can you be in a relationship if you have no true understanding of what love is, the sacrifices? And you know, hearing "I love you" from my dad, I think it would have freed me in some of them areas, man. This is good stuff tonight, man. This is good stuff. Give me some dad. Go ahead.
I don't think that we can hold nobody accountable, man, because we live in a different world. Like, them dudes, man, like,
Oh, definitely.
I guess, you know, your dad, my dad, around the same age as you, maybe a little bit older, whatever, man, but y'all came up at a different time. But there was no, you know, me, I don't feel like there was a place of weakness, because there's barely any place of weakness for a black man now.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we got to support this. You know, a lot of times, you know, you got to suck that up. You ain't got time to be sad. You know, like you told me about when you hurt your elbow or whatever.
Right.
Like, nah, suck it up. Because they're looking at it like, you got to go out here and fight the world. So it really wasn't. We're the only way around it, man. You know, I tell people all the time, like, yeah, we're in our own way, but we fighting to come back from a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And we in our own starting off. You know, we like, it ain't just like, oh, well, now y'all, you know, you're not two-thirds of a person anymore. Oh, you got the same rights as everybody else. You can't fix this. You know, I got an aunt who picked cotton, like, sharecropping, because, you know what I mean, they were getting paid, but I got an aunt who picked cotton. They don't get wiped away quickly. You know what I mean?
No, it don't.
That's a lot of and yeah, we got systems and stuff in play, man, that crippled us, but at the same time, man, we coming back from a lot, and I think we're doing good to be where we are, but we still got a lot of work to go. I mean, if you look at the scale, though, it lasts, what, we could just say 60 years ago, man, you know, like, drinking out of the same water fountain, you know, and you got to go out there and fight that. You got to come home and fight your family issue. So it might not have even been a place for vulnerability at that point in time. You know what right. I mean? Because you get attacked by it. So when I say, you know, we tell each other we love them, like I push that out to the kids. Like, we got a group chat, and it's about 10 of us in it now. And them y'all cats, man, they'll tell me all the time, like, hey, love you, big bro. You know, appreciate you. You know, thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing that. It's just, I stay in contact with them. You know, I know we live or whatever, but this ain't nothing I got to hide or whatever. But I grew up with my grandfather, and it just so happened, like my man said, them grandparents won't tell the kids, but them grandkids don't get it, you know?
That's
so
right.
He started telling me, maybe that's where it come from. I know one of the biggest issues was, you know, Carnegie and me and him talk about it all the time, and I was like, he didn't like to talk on the phone, but now we talk every day.
Right.
It come around the same basis, like, one of these days, I might want to pick that phone up and I can't call you.
Oh, yeah.
And you lose a moment and you wish, like, man, I wish I could have told him I love him, even though he knew it. Sometimes you don't get the opportunity, so that's what my basis is. Like, I think about that with everybody. I try not to miss a phone call. You know I'm busy, but I try not to miss a phone call or at least get some type of conversation, because you never know when you won't have an opportunity. So if y'all need a basis to go tell your homies you love them, there you go. Because, you know, I got one. 2 months ago, you know, and I, you know, a week before, like, you know, I told him, hey, I love you, bro, be safe. And I'm glad I got to say that. I got to tell him, hey, I love you, you know, and that was it. So right. I don't have that regret. Y'all use that to push it to the basement, man, to push it to the young cat, you know, push it to your dad, or brother, or whoever.
Tell everybody. It's free, and that's the thing, man. You know, love is a free thing, man. And man, you just don't know, man. A couple of weeks ago, man, I was just going through some things, man. You know, the enemy, Glenn said, Brother Glenn said, he quit school because of recess and all that. He's always held us, right? And so, man, a couple of weeks ago, man, I was just going through it, man. And one of my partners in the mentoring group, the founder, called me, he texted me. He told me he loved me, man. He was really proud of the work I was doing inside the program. Just like that. Just like that. I came from that place. I'm talking about just like that. So sometimes, even if it's awkward, I'm not trying to act like just telling another dude you love him. It's awkward at times. But it's more power in it than it is awkward. And so, you know what I'm saying, man? When I tell you I love you, it's for you. It's also for me, too. I don't know what you're going through. Sometimes I might be the last person that has the compassion to tell a brother I love him. Everybody ain't got that in them. And so you guys do. We do. And so, man, when the opportunity comes, when you know that you get that option, tell somebody you love them. It can be, well, we got to be careful with telling women that, but no, you can't just tell every woman that. You be in a relationship and no.
Hey, being it quick too.
Being it quick, yeah, hey, we get married. Like, what? We are? Hey, no, I don't love you like that. Now I love you like God, like Christ loved the church. I love you like that. Hey, man, that's been a good night.
Well, all that time, before you say that, like, all that can be therapy, though. We don't like to use that word therapy in the black man community, in our community, because back in the day, what was therapy for the older people? Church. You know, church, that's all you had to know was church.
Right.
You know, back in the day, but we scared to use that word therapy. But, man, I will never judge nobody that go to therapy, do therapy. If I need, I need. Me talking to y'all, this therapy right here. This right here is therapy. So don't ever be afraid. Don't ever be afraid of the word therapy.
No doubt.
Because people say, why go to people? Hmm? I mean, God placed them people that learn that stuff so they can pass it, try to pass and help you get better.
Hey, John,
don't ever be ashamed of that.
That's the speech.
Hey,
that's
hey,
the foundation of what this came about. This night came about because I know that I've been to counseling, I've been to therapy, I've done all that. But I know that it's an enigma in the black community to go to counseling and go see a shrink and all that. You're whack and they got nicknames. So for me, I know you guys, we can help each other. You know, a lot of times, I haven't been to counseling a lot, man. They basically give us what we already know. They got some tools to help us if you can't get to it, but they really give you just really life lessons. I've been around 51 years. Has been around a little bit. We've all been through things. No matter how old you are. So if I go to Adam and say, hey, man, XYZ, I'm dealing with XYZ. And Adam say, hey, I've been through that. You know what I'm saying? This is kind of how I did. This is what I did. You know what I'm saying? Like that's why having connections and loving on each other and keeping connections and bonds with each other is so valuable and so important. Because if Adam's not going to go to counseling, you guys not going to go. If I'm not going to go, we have each other. We have each other number. Warren, me and Warren. I've had the privilege to talk to all of you guys. I got all your numbers. And so that's what this is all about tonight. You know, being able to come on, and it's crazy how God worked. We was going to talk about depression. But, you know, having you guys on, this has been an awesome, awesome first night, man. I don't want to keep you guys too long. So, man, everybody give y'all know how we do, Jonathan. Give me something before we go. It ain't got to be whatever.
Alex wanted to say something. Look.
Go ahead.
You're on mute.
My bad. I want to say something real quick, Todd. And just like how you said that, you know, we all can go to counseling. But sometimes we just need to talk to other brothers, to other people. That, and this right here, man, this right here has been therapy to me because, you know, just like I shared, you know, situations with my father and what he never told me, and it was hard for him to tell. And just like what you shared, Todd, I mean, we got to think like we sometimes if we just talk to each other and just have a conversation and it be genuine and let hey, I can let you know what I'm going through, blase, blase, and go from there. I mean, we are. Our own healer. If you think of it, we just gonna have a community where we can talk to each other. But anyway, but y'all go ahead. Go ahead, Jonathan.
That's good stuff. Go ahead, Don.
You wanna take away the shot?
Yeah.
Appreciate y'all for us tonight, man. You know, it's tough. Tough for some of us to get on Saturday around 7 o'clock. Ain't no football on today, huh? So we here. But we here though, man. I appreciate it. Like you said, we can all post this on our page. No matter if we get 300 views or 3 likes, as long as it touch one person, that's all that matters. But let's continue just to build each other up. And I thank you, Darren, Alex, Todd, Warren. Hope to see y'all, treat y'all brothers again. Have a good night.
Hey, good stuff. Good stuff, girl. Love you, man. Love you. Brother Darren.
Love y'all.
Man, appreciate y'all, man. It was good to be on. I was actually off today, so Saturdays be kind of hard sometimes, man. So I'm actually getting ready to go to a gig when I leave here, man. So yeah, I was like, I had to hop on, but good stuff, man. My takeaway is just that we have to really start as a people. We have to really start listening more than just like hearing. We have to listen, and if we listen hard enough, it's kind of like you know, some of y'all, like Todd, you 50, I'm 30, my man Warren said he talked to some teenage kids. Like, we all pretty much got the same story about our dads. It's all the same thing. So it's all generational. Because, and we can, that's another conversation, because that's probably some generational things that has been transferred from generation to generation. And we all know that, you know, having a strong dad in the household makes a big difference in the outcome of the next generation. And that was systematically put in place, and we know that. You know what I'm saying? Like we know that, but it's up to us to have things like this and to change the narrative and understand that loving our brother and complimenting our brother and supporting our fellow brothers, that is not, it's not weird. That's human. that's human. So we have to change that. We just have to work on that, changing on the narrative of how we approach each other. Cause you know, nowadays it's like, you tell somebody you love them, you gay, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. You know what I'm saying? When you really say stuff out loud like that, you're like, well, that's crazy. But, but anywho, man, I definitely enjoyed the conversation, man. And, I look forward to more, conversations in the future.
Good stuff there. Good stuff, man. Great nuggets.
I guess,
love you, man. Brother Warren.
Well, first off, I want to touch back on what you said as far as systematically in place. Like, we'll get back on that later, because most definitely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's crazy, bro. I love that kind of stuff, man. Like, man, listen, bro, it's so many things that are systematic, and people don't understand that how you don't understand, like, how our brains work and the stuff that we see, how we mm-hmm. it's about mm-hmm. programming, and we can talk all day, but if we don't reprogram our mentality, because the Bible says, you know, the Bible says by the renewing of your mind, you change your spirituality by the renewing of your mind, and it works the same way. We have to reprogram how we look at ourselves as Black men in our communities. And so those are things we need a whole reprogramming, because we can do surface level things. And I think we've done surface level things, like what Warren said. You know, we've made some great strides, you know what I'm saying? Like, to get to where we are today, but we need reprogramming of our brain to understand who we are. But that's a whole different conversation, but I'm with you, Warren. We got to chop that up, bro.
Oh yeah. I miss the Dion talk too. I think he getting a raw deal. I don't think people give it a no crap. I think some people are great. I seen it, because I missed that, but I apologize for being late, but that's kind of my MO. I've been doing better about it, but tired to tell you, man, it's hard to get for me. Like,
you're gonna be late.
The most we done talked here lately have been at a gas station. Cuz, okay, we're gonna do this next Saturday, 7:00, I'll be there. And right, I ended up showing up at 40, but I guess my takeaway from everything is from the little bit I got is I tell the boys that, you know, I tell them all the time, like, I'm not trying to preach to y'all. I'm just giving y'all what I wish somebody had given me. Like, I got some of this starting at like 3, 25, 28. Like, some of these nuggets, you know, like Todd was there. Me and Todd wasn't together all the time when I was young. I just remember him coaching me and picking up stuff from him.
Right.
But I try to give it to him, because I'm like, hey, man, I'm doing for you what I wish somebody had done for me. But one of the things I always tell them, we talk about being comfortable saying I love you. And, you know, people always say, like, man, you just talk to anybody. You can go in there with a crowd. Like, you know everybody. You're just cool. You can handle a situation. You're self-aware. But I always tell them, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Because when you're uncomfortable, like many quotes say, that's when the growth is happening, right? So, you know, I guess, I don't know if you call it oxymoron or whatever, but get comfortable being uncomfortable. So when you get in an uncomfortable situation, you know how to handle it. Like, you're comfortable enough in that uncomfortable spot to be able to make sound decisions, you know. And you can start it with the basis of just saying, I love you. It's uncomfortable. But once you get comfortable telling another man you love him and getting past the gay stigma and all that, or the softness or whatever, once you get past that, man, that's when you can continue to grow. Because now you pass them on to your kids, your son, your brother. And it starts building that. You know, we got to, like you said, continue dropping these nuggets. So that's going to be my biggest takeaway. Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah, good stuff. That's good stuff. Hey, that's why, you know, your I don't consider you late. I always consider you arriving on the scene. Because when you get yeah. when you going, you always bring that heat, man. Good stuff, man. Love you, man. Love you.
Oh, thank man. You
hey, man, that's been and man, Darren and Jonathan know, man, we've been rocking, man. And God is he's just awesome. I really was looking into diving into the depression. I still want to get into it because I think it's just before we go further, I think we have to really have an understanding of how impactful depression is. Because a lot of people are stagnant when they're depressed. You know what I'm saying? They don't even, kids, wow, everything, they don't touch nothing in their life. So I want to jump on that. I got, man, this group here by itself is powerful. But I got Tank, has Jeff in the family. Chris Butler was on, me and him chopped up on here last week. He couldn't get in. He had something going on. I got four or five guys, man, that I know going to be coming consistently, man. And it don't take 1,000 people. This group right here could move mountains in terms of pointing to people and nuggets. Me and Alex played baseball together in the late 90s or early 2000s, I'm not sure. But the guy that Alex played ball with would have never opened up about nothing that you guys don't hear me talk about. Nothing that you've ever heard me talk about in the last 2 years. That guy that Alex knew, he would never share that with people. And so that's why our connections, me and Alex been connected through the years in some kind of way. And I'm so blessed to be connected to all of you guys that I know if I'm going through stuff, I can call Warren. He probably ain't gonna answer right away. Jonathan, he'll get back quick. Darren, all you got. Warren was last. He's the last result on this call right here. But I want you guys to think of some topics. What you got, Warren? I want you guys to like come up with some topics. I want you guys to start looking into censorship. I did a lot of study on censorship, and it's deep. But just shoot me some topics, ideas. Like, it is not about me at all. So whatever you guys want to talk about, y'all hit, shoot them to me, and we'll go from there, man. Great night tonight, man. Y'all have a blessed. Can I hear you now, Warren?
Hey, Todd. I got one question. Hey, Dan, you still on, Dan? Dan, still on?
I'm still on.
Hey, you just let me know when you come to Columbia, so I can come to your show at the Colonial Life Wing.
All right, bro.
Let me know when you come to Columbia, though.
All right, bet.
Am I back, sir?
Yeah, you back.
Am I back?
You back?
I said I'll just let y'all know if y'all ever need me, I'm only 5 phone calls and 3 mixed text messages away.
Hey, he ain't lying either. At least 5 phone calls. It ain't gonna I can tell you that. You can call him the first time and put the phone down. Let it rain. Oh, man, I love you guys, y'all man. Y'all have a great weekend.
Love y'all, man.
And if nothing happens, nothing changes, see you guys next Saturday at 7 o'clock. Be blessed.
All right, so y'all good night.